Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Cryptic Commander. We are your hosts. I'm John Nose.
And I'm Matthew Provins.
And we have a special guest with us today. Matt, you want to introduce him?
Yeah, we've got MTG Peddler here. How about you go ahead and say hi?
Hey, everyone. How's it going? Thank you so much for having me on.
Yeah, it's great to have you here, man.
I'm excited. I'm ready to roll right into it, man.
Let's do it.
Okay, so page one. NRG, so that's N like Nancy, R like Rain, and G like Gumball. NRG stands for Nerd Rage Games, and apparently Magic the Gathering Online has a tournament that's coming up, and if you want to know more about it, you can go to nerdragegaming.com. That's nerdragegaming, one word, .com for more info. First time hearing about that one, Matt.
Yeah, I'm honestly never heard of Nerd Rage Gaming before, but it sounds pretty fun.
Yeah, I'll be looking into that as soon as I get done with the podcast. Commander Legends, am I saying this right?
Yeah, Commander Legends. There's some pretty exciting stuff coming up in Commander Legends. I mean, you know, there's never been anything revolving around Commander before that had to do with the draft, right? Mm-hmm. And so now we're getting these new packs coming in, and I'm pretty excited. They released a new type of foiling, which I believe they're calling etched foiling. Am I correct on that, DG Peddler?
Yes, you are correct. They are calling it etched foiling. It's going to be so cool to draft this set, man.
That's the part I'm looking forward to, is drafting the set, because I like Commander. This is my first time getting into Commander. I love the fact that it's Commander, the Year of Commander, it's called. I love that fact. I've got my Hippo Hug deck raring to go. Haven't even played one game with it yet, you know. tested it out kind of a deal, you know. But I still want to pimp it out and, you know, get to this whole self-expression thing. And I don't know about you guys, but I'm super stoked also to go out and do this Commander Legends draft where you pull out two cards at a time, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to get some cards and go home with and pimp out your own Commander deck if you don't have some of these. I mean, reprints? Hello?
I know. I'm super excited. I mean, I'm really excited to see all the new blue stuff coming in, because as I've mentioned many times on the podcast before, I am a highly competitive blue player, which many people hate me for that, but it's all right. Like, I have my CEDH Urza deck, and, you know, that's just how I roll.
And to me, it's actually really exciting to have this product, because I have zero experience with Commander. I don't play Constructed. Really? I only play Limited. So it's really, really kind of cool to kind of dip your feet into the Commander experience without committing yourself to a deck. So I think the product's great for people like me.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no, that's a great point.
I think so too, because I want to go out to the local game store more and more and more. I'm over here at home playing Magic the Gathering Arena, and to get over to a local game store and do this draft in an environment like that, you know, where it's safe and sanitized, this is what I'm looking forward to, because I'm really heavily want to get into Commander. I don't know about you guys. I just really want to get into this Commander thing. I really do.
For me, if it's a product and it's draftable, I'm there. Like, I am there. I love drafting.
Yeah, I think honestly, drafting is probably one of my weakest points. But with this Commander drafting coming up, Commander being one of my, you know, strongest sides of Magic, I'm very excited for this. I'm going to dive headfirst and be as competitive as I possibly can. You know, when
Commander Collection Green coming out December 4th. And I know a friend of mine would be really happy to hear that they're going to reprint an alternative artwork on Seedborn Muse. Do you have any thoughts and opinions on any of these other cards in that set?
I mean, I haven't really looked at it too much yet, but the Seedborn Muse, having another artwork for it is going to be pretty awesome. Especially since it's been such a widely played card just in green. I don't play green as much, so I can't say too much, but it is a fantastic card that's constantly played in the meta.
I mean, the quality of reprints, too, that they're putting in this set is really, really good. It's very, very strong. I mean, you have Worldly Tutor, Sylvan Library, you have Omnath, Soul Ring. It's like, who wouldn't want this? I don't even know what the price point is on this, but it's like, I want this.
Exactly. I mean, just looking at that Soul Ring alone, the artwork on that, just you can tell that they've put so much effort into getting this awesome artwork and having this theme going here. I'm pretty excited for this. I hope I'll be able to buy this when it comes out.
It's interesting that you brought up the artwork too, because they made Sol Ring, even though it's an artifact, they made it look green. You know, it looks like a green card. I thought that was so cool. Even though it's colorless, it looks green. Yeah. It's really, really thoughtful.
Exactly. No, I love it.
Yeah, they got alternative artwork on Sylvian Library in that set. It kind of reminds you of the spell books in a way. I'm also looking forward to another Sol Ring. I have a Sol Ring in my commander deck that I've talked about, the Hippo Hug deck. But another Sol Ring is going to get me in the mood to make another commander deck, you know?
Yeah, I'm about to actually get in my first foil Sol Ring, so I'm pretty excited for that. I'm trying to foil my Seedage Urza deck.
Well, they did Very say cool. they're going to have a regular version and a foil version. And I think Sweet. Only the WPN stores will have access to the non-foil versions.
Yeah.
Moving on to a topic. Last week, we talked about the ban and restriction list. The announcement was...
Yes.
And you nailed
it. Up the day.
You nailed it. And the guest we had on last week nailed it, too. Over at... Help me out here. Cash and Dash.
Collectors of the Coast. Yeah, Cash and Dash.
Yeah. They even nailed it, too. So there you go, guys. You know, nailing the card. They're going to ban and restrict old Field of the Dead. You know, I'm blind to that. I didn't know what they're going to ban, really.
I've been trying to pay attention to Standard more often now, and Historic, I guess, because that was a Historic ban, right? Just more at the Arena sort of area. And Field of the Dead was just something that was extremely overpowered in a lot of land decks, and it needed to go. And I'm glad it was banned.
Yeah, this card predates me. I mean, even though it's M20, I've only been back to the game for about a year, so I didn't really have a chance to experience it too much.
But I mean,
yeah. But from from reading the card and understanding what it does, I understand the banning of it.
Yeah.
Peddler, that's a good thing you bring up, because the listeners out there that don't know you are the first time hearing about you. You got into Magic when?
Oh, I'm an old school guy. I originally got into the game in 1994 as a 13-year-old kid. And I wish I could tell you I still had all my old cards. I do not. They're all lost to history. Mm-hmm. And then I played from 94. I remember buying Revised and I believe Antiquities and stuff like that. And I played up until Homelands. And then I discovered Girls and I left the game for a while. I think many of us do. And then I rediscovered the game. Oh, I don't remember the year. It's probably 2007 or 2008. Lorwyn was the block that was current. And me and my buddy were just like looking at, we saw Magic cards at a comic book shop. And we're like, wow, this game is still around. And we're like, oh, wow, there's tournaments. We should get back into this. This is amazing. And so we did. And I played up through Rise of the Eldrazi when I went to college. And now I just was cleaning out my basement and I found an old binder and I found probably like a dozen of the fetch lands. So I was like, oh, I wonder if these are worth anything. I'm like, oh, yes, they are. And that drug me back in again. So now I'm back. And I came back right before Theros Beyond Death came out is when I got back in the game this last time.
Oh, nice.
So that's a little bit of my magical history.
Oh, nice. No, I think a lot of people can probably even relate to you too. You know, when you come back into the game and all of a sudden there's a thing called Planeswalkers and you have to learn they take damage, but they get redirect damage and you can attack them with creatures and then certain things can block, and you understand, right?
Oh, and if I remember right, I believe the Lorwyn block was the first block with Planeswalkers.
That is correct. That is correct. Yes.
Yeah. So it was still kind of new to everyone at that point in the game, but still, to me, it was like, oh my God, look how powerful these cards are.
Yes. Yeah.
It was unbelievable. It was unbelievable.
We talked about it on the podcast. Power creep is a thing. And Matt, I also want to talk about, we have merchandise for the podcast too. And we're excited to announce that. We've got dice bags, hoodies, and t-shirts. First, I want to talk about these dice bags. I've got a gift in the mail today. I'll rub my hands together. Here, matter of fact, I got a dice bag right here. It says The Cryptic Commander. And on the other side, it says John with a D20 etched into it. It's really nice, man. It's bigger than what I thought it was going to be. It's really durable. So I'm probably sure the listeners can hear that.
Yeah, I bought one too, actually. She sent me one too. It has the same thing with Matt with an HD20, and this is the Cryptic Commander.
So this weekend, and today on this recording is 8/28, right? Today's 8/28?
8/29.
Oh, okay. So on this recording, 8/29, August the 29th, you got a code, TCC20, which I guess stands for the Cryptic Commander, is the code that our listeners can get 20% off the dice bags this weekend only if they go over to her website, which the easiest way I found out, Matt, was zibet.com. That's ZIBBET.com. And then there's a link on the top where it says you go to Marketplace. So you jump to that real quick. And then type her name in, which is A-A-R-T-O-P-I-A, Artopia, with two A's.
Yeah.
And yeah, there they are right there, the Cryptic Commander dice bags. And this weekend, which is today and tomorrow, until midnight tomorrow, our listeners can get 20% off those dice bags with your name on them. I think that's pretty cool. And then we're going to work we're going to work on the hoodies and the t-shirts in the next couple of days. So by the next podcast, we should have more info about the hoodies and the t-shirts. I think you're a close friend to her too, aren't you?
Yeah, no. I've known her for a while. And I asked her if she wanted to do some dice bags for us, and she was all for it. So now we got a partnership with her going, and it's been pretty awesome working with her.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And I love her work. Now that I have it in my hands, it's good quality put together. It's got the black thing on top where I can squeeze it and release it, and it's just flawless. It's almost better than one of those dice bags you can get at a local game store. You know, I'm sad to say, but this is really high quality too. I love it. I love it. It fits all my dice, and I've got room to put more dice in there. I thought about putting oh my God, you guys should go check it out though. And like I said, just go over to zibit.com and type in A-A-R-T-O-P-I-A, and there she is in the marketplace. You'll see the Cryptic Commander dice bags and a bunch of her stuff that she does too. And I know she does great art. There's a rumor I want to go ahead and lay to rest. They're talking about Zendikar being triple printed, having three times the print run. That's the word out on the street, coming from the East Coast and the West Coast. Now, me, I'm here in the Midwest, but the rumor's going around. And I just want to lay this to rest, guys, that there wasn't anything like this going on. There's a company out there called ACD. It kind of sounds like the rock and roll band, ACDC. But the company's called ACD Distributing. Wizards of the Coast cut them out of the game, and they lost the ability to sell Magic. And there might seem like, you know, an overflood of product and merchandise at your local game store or even here and there. But what's really going on is when you knock out one distributor, the other distributors pick up that extra slack. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
Yep.
So I kind of wanted to lay that rumor to rest. Moving over to page 8 here. Peddler, do you want to let the people know? Because I love watching your YouTube shows. So.
Oh, thank you so much, man.
Absolutely. You want to let the listeners know how to get a hold of you and what you're doing? And
yeah, absolutely. Well, what you can do is just log into YouTube and search me up. It's MTG Peddler. And basically what I do is I do primarily box openings. I do any kind of magical news that's relevant. Like I'll be covering Zendikar Rising spoilers starting Tuesday, actually. It's already the first. How about that? We're already at Zendikar spoilers. Unbelievable. And I do a ton of giveaways and stuff like that. I actually have a current giveaway going on specifically for Zendikar Rising, because right now I am just shy of 300 subscribers. So I'm still a very, very small channel. And just for Zendikar coming out, I'm giving away a bundle to one of my subscribers. And nice. If we can hit, I love giving stuff away. It makes me happy. It makes me really happy. And if I can hit 500 subscribers before Zendikar comes out, I'm going to not only give away a bundle, I'm going to give away a full booster box, a draft booster box of Zendikar Rising.
Nice.
And if we can hit 750, and I know we can do it, because I did a VIP giveaway for Double Masters, and I had 100 subscribers overnight, so I know I can hit 750. If we hit 750, I will also give away a full collector's box of Zendikar Rising. So it would be three prizes if we hit 750. Oh, wow. So I'm really excited about that. So I'm hoping we can get there. And I also have a Facebook page. Just search me up on Facebook. It's just MTG Peddler. I'm the only thing that comes up if you search it. So I'm very, very accessible. And like I said, since I'm such a small channel, I still individually answer each comment. I'm I interact with a lot of my subscribers on Facebook through email. Just, I love talking to people. I love talking Magic. And this is just a great kind of like avenue for me to do that. So it's a lot of fun. It's really casual. It's a positive place. Yeah. I love doing it. I really love doing it.
Okay. I got some cards that need some attention here. We're going to start with Mox Diamond. If you guys didn't know that it's up to $699.99, it's up 14.28%, which is an all-time high. And Final Fortune is at $10.38, which is up 73.29%, which is also at an all-time high. On the other side of the spectrum, Teferi Time Traveler is going down to $12.49, which, by the way, is a record low, and it's still going down hard. Fabled Passage is at $6.72, which also is a record low, continuing to bottom out. I know they have a reprint in the 21, but Noble High Arc, $25 even, record low, and it's still going down. I don't know if you guys had any thoughts on those, but...
Yeah, they're just the massive amount of VIP openings that occurred. And then with Mox Diamond, I think that also has to do with a pattern with Gaia's Cradle, is the older cards that have been highly used in Commander and were, you know, somewhat expensive in the first place are just going to continue to rise, even though the Magic market right now is trending at a downward pace. It's just because of the small amount of stuff that was printed back then versus the large amount of stuff that's being printed now. Wizards of the Coast keeping on pushing the more VIP products, you know?
Mm-hmm. But yeah, to me, that downward trend has not at all had any correlation with the reserve list. So the reserve list has continued to climb and climb through all of this. Like, I believe revised dual lands are at all-time highs right now.
All of them but one.
Yeah, it's insane.
Yeah,
and I would love to know, have an explanation as to why there's so much buying activity when you're at a historic high. You don't buy at historic highs. That's when you sell. Well, it's very interesting to me.
Well, I think there's a lot to go with what's going on. I mean, there was a stimulus package, and what does a stimulus package do? It stimulates the economy. You know, I think that has some play to going on. Also, you got people like me, who just recently got their job back. You know, and hey, honey, I'm sorry, but I'm going out and spending $100 on Magic cards. You know? I mean, you know.
That's a fair point. That is a fair point.
You know? I mean, I can look at two things, too. I can go buy a box for $100, or I can go buy a single for $75 and pimp out my Commander deck. You know? I mean, whatever I want to do, though, it's something that I feel that I earned and I did for myself. I mean, everybody's got their opinions. You know?
Yeah.
But I would want to buy one of these Seedborn Muses just on its own merit. So, you know, even going out and getting that collection for how much they want to overcharge for it, $40, $60, I'm game, you know. Where do you want me to put my card? Take my
card. Where do I swipe?
Yeah, where do I swipe?
Can you take PayPal or Venmo?
Yeah, I'm not sure what a Squarespace is, but do you accept it? All right. But yeah, that's the market watch for this week. And then we also want to go over to Matt. You've got some information on a Mark Rosewater tweet.
You've got. I guess you could say it's a treat.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you got? Mark Rosewater has tweeted some quote unquote spoilers about the Zendikar Rising set. So there's only two cards specifically I know that have actually been spoiled, but I'm not going to go over those two. I'm going to go over some abilities and some mechanics that Mark Rosewater is saying that a lot of these cards are going to contain, and then I want to shoot these off of you guys and see what you think. So the first one is a white creature that can make an opponent lose the game simply by attacking them, no matter how much life they have.
Fair. I love the idea. White's been underlooked for so many years. What does white do? Why don't I want to use a white deck by itself? Well, you kind of want to do blue and white.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I automatically think of Felidar Sovereign if you have the 40 life at the beginning of your turn, you win the game. And that's the only really other white creature I can think of that wins the game on its own, or white card
isn't
in general.
Isn't Felidar Guardian banned in Modern?
Not about Guardian. I'm talking about Sovereign.
Oh, Sovereign. Okay, I am so sorry. Go ahead.
It's funny, Matt, because I had the same exact feeling about that card when I saw that tweet also about the win the game automatically. And also, wasn't Sovereign in the either Alara block or the Zendikar block?
It was in Battle for Zendikar, I believe. Yeah, Battle for Zendikar. And was it? I believe it was also in the original Zendikar.
Yeah, so it does fit the theme.
Yeah, it exactly fits the theme. So maybe we're going to get another cat beast that wins the game. And so then next we have a multicolor creature that lets you repeatedly reanimate permanents out of your opponent's graveyard for no mana. So there's going to be recursion. And so to me it sounds like Dredge. Hmm. A multicolor creature, and it lets you reanimate for no mana. To me it sounds something like Dredge. What do you guys think?
Well, for me there would have to be a downside for such a strong Obviously. Ability. Maybe like losing X life or X is the resurrected creature's casting call, something. It would have to be a steep price if you're not paying mana.
Exactly. And then there's three creatures with five creature types. So each of these three creatures have five separate creature types.
How are they fitting that on the card?
That was honestly the first thing I thought of. So they're either reducing the text size or they're not very big creature types. And then we have an artifact granting +2/+2 to a subset of creatures that first appeared in Alpha. And I was doing some research and I couldn't, for the life of me, couldn't figure out what creature that could be.
I'm praying for a Tog. Bring a Tog back.
Oh, that would be awesome.
A Tog. I haven't heard that in a long time.
I love that card.
Yeah. Man. And then X being used for a variable it's never been used for before. This one has me thinking really hard because I really have no idea where that could be. But I'm pretty excited to see an X in a place where it has never been before, you know? Another way to sink mana. Then we got a 6/6 artifact creature that costs 3 mana and a 7/5 artifact creature that can cost 3. That's interesting wording where it says it can cost 3. Seems like they're just trying to put out more cheap artifact creatures. And then they're bringing back 4 mana symbols that have each only ever been used on 2 cards before. Do you guys have any idea what those 2 cards are?
I have none.
Okay.
I have no idea.
I think it's in the wording. Can you reread that? Because I think it's really in the wording on that.
The return of 4 mana symbols that have each only ever been used on 2 cards before.
Okay, so think about this. Think about this for a second. Remember the split costs? Like, Reaper King?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Lorwyn block.
Now, hold on. That was from Shy. Well, it was also, it said or 2. Remember? If you didn't have the black, you can pay 2. If you didn't have the red, you can pay 2. If you didn't have the white,
Oh, the Phyrexian mana?
No.
Yeah.
You pay 2 life, right?
No. 2 colorless. So look at Reaper King. Go look at Reaper King. This is what I'm telling you by looking to the letter of the law.
So that is a very specific type of hybrid mana.
So what I'm trying to tell you is if you look up the card Reaper King, okay, if you look at what Mark Rosewater's trying to hint to you, you don't want to really look at the word of the law. You want to look at the letter of the law. And what I think he's trying to hint toward is how many cards have had that printed on there. I'm just going to make a guess here. And I think Reaper King's one, and I don't know what the other one is. So I think
that's interesting.
I think that's what he's talking about. And
I'm looking at the card right now. Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, Reaper King is a fantastic
card.
So what if they do more cards with that? And it's like, okay, this is the year of Commander. Let's go, baby. Are some of these going to be legendary?
Okay. What if they're just bringing back Reaper King?
I think, again, you got to look at the word of the law and not the letter of the law. But go ahead, man. I didn't want to stop you there. Go ahead.
Yeah, then so we've got lands that come with a choice you've never had before. Now this is something that's being talked about a lot. People are like, huh, more dual lands. And one thing that was talked about a lot on Reddit was cards that were flip cards that had a choice when it came in. So one side that was a plains and another side that was an island per se, and you could choose which side it was when it came in. Now, that's purely speculation, but I think that's an exciting idea and something that I would love to see. What do you guys think?
I would say that that really fits the theme of the wording in the tweet. And I think it's a really cool idea. I think that's really, really strong, especially when you combine it with like I believe we know that landfall is in this set too. Maybe it's a landfall ability we can kind of flop back and forth. You know what I mean? That'd be so awesome.
Now, did they confirm landfall is going to be a thing?
I believe they did.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they did.
Okay. I'm not sure if that's confirmed. I'm not sure if they confirm landfall. I know Kicker is going to be on the Jace Planeswalker. I know Kicker is going to be there.
That's correct.
I know that's going to be there. Because it's one thing I don't want to talk about on the podcast is speculation. But
right.
I just want to let everybody know that there are mechanics and abilities that are come out in this that, you know, they're going to hype this, man. It's going to be a product. You got to remember what it is, though. It's a block set to help rotate out the new season. So you're going to lose some sets. This comes in. They want to hype it up. It's not Mystery Boosters. It's not Double Masters. It's not Commander Legends. It's not the other products that I've got notes here from tonight. You know, this is a standard set. And how are you going to hype up a standard set? You know, either you're going to do a lot of power creep, which I don't see him doing. I mean, come on. You don't want to destroy standard. You know, let's face it. You don't want to destroy standard. We just fixed it. We just fixed standard. We do have a question coming in right now, too, that from one of the Facebook groups. So I'm going to go ahead and run over here to this Facebook group here. Oh, here we go. Standard after the rotation, good or bad? I don't know how to answer that question because we don't know all the cards that are coming out yet. Am I right?
Well, I think they mean how did the standard meta change, and do we believe it was a good or bad change after this last ban?
No. The good question is rotation, standard after rotation, good or bad?
Oh, after rotation.
Yeah, good or bad. I can't predict the future for cards I haven't seen yet. They've only spoiled two cards that I know of.
Yeah, no, they only have the only two official spoiled cards.
The planes
we have right here: Jace Mirror Mage,
yeah,
and Nahiri Heir of the Ancients are the only ones that we have officially.
Yeah, those are the two cards that are spoiled right now that I know of. Yeah.
Yep.
So I mean, but again, with going back to what you're saying though, lands that have abilities that we've never seen before. I think that the new lands they have that are coming out for that commander set that we just talked about previously here on tonight's podcast, they have the, if you were playing with partners, I think that's a cool concept. They have a name for those lands. I forget what they're calling them. Group lands or something like that. You know, I think they're really cool though. I think they're going to have something along those lines. The flip ability. Yeah. The flip ability seems really cool. I'm on Facebook, just like a lot of the young hipsters these days, these kids. I'm on Facebook, and I see what everybody else is seeing. I see the flip island and the flip planes. I don't think that's it. I think whoever guessed that one right there needs to work on the research and development committee R&D team. But that's a good idea. I don't think that's it. I don't have an inside scoop on what it is, guys, but I don't think that's it. I want it to be it. I think you do too. I don't think that's it.
Yeah, I mean, a cool thing is that person who leaked it also leaked the Triumphs before and were absolutely correct about the Triumphs.
That's
so
scary.
Who knows?
That's scary. I'd like to see what comes out of that.
I'd be very pumped for flip dual lands.
Mm-hmm. That wouldn't even replace the original OG dual lands, though. You know?
Oh no, not even close. Because you still only have that one option right there, and then
you're wrong.
You don't have.
You're wrong. If they got landfall, don't you want to return a land to your hand and put it back down for landfall?
Yeah, but it requires using extra cards to do that same thing.
That's fine.
You know,
if it goes with the synergy of your deck, I don't see that being a problem.
Yeah, no, you're completely correct about that. It's just not the same as the original dual lands.
Right. No, I agree there. But it'd be a good, cheaper alternative, though.
Of course.
Much cheaper alternative.
Honey, I think I know what I'm buying this winter. Okay. Anything else on that right there from Mario's tweet?
I think the best way to answer that question is time will definitely tell. Mm-hmm. Well, let's let some of these spoilers come out mm-hmm. over the next week, and then I think we'll really get an idea of where standard's heading. Is my opinion.
I agree with you, Peddler. Yeah. I can't wait till the next podcast, and we're talking about one of them. You know.
Yeah, no, I'll be very excited to talk about the spoilers that are coming out this week, and seeing all the new mechanics. If they're going to be spoiling the new mechanics, who knows? Mm-hmm. But. It also says that we're going to have a targeted enchantment removal in black. So that's something that I'm sure we've had before, but not very common.
Well, let's go back to the first hint he dropped with this white creature that's going to be the super mythic rare that we haven't even had a name for that mythic rare yet, you know? I'm just kidding you guys. But what I'm saying is if you're going to have something like that, then of course you're going to have to something have... And it's opposite color to be just as powerful, you know, balancing the set out. Kind of like designing your own cube, you know, designing your own set. So, I mean, why not have a enchantment removal in black? Power creep.
Exactly.
You know?
So, yeah, we're going to get a red-white creature with a line of rules text that starts with whenever and ends with draw a card.
Yeah, you know what it says in between that?
Nope, it just says starts with whenever and ends with draw a card. So whenever somebody does something, somebody draws a card.
Whenever this creature enters the battlefield, you sacrifice two lands or you lose the game. And then what does it end with?
Draw a card.
Draw a card. Okay.
Well, that wouldn't be whenever. Whenever is usually when something's already permanent on the battlefield.
Here you go. I don't want to speculate on that because I'm thinking you got to sacrifice two cards, but you got to discard your whole hand in the beginning of your turn, draw a card. You know, something.
They're bringing back another Rhystic Study. No.
What? Wait, what? Rhystic Study?
No, I'm kidding.
Oh, you. Okay. Was that the last tweet he had, or
no? There's one more. We're gonna get a card with three different activated abilities that all copy something. So that's interesting.
That reminds me of the old Oblivion Sour. What? Oblivion Stone or Oblivion Sour or something?
Oblivion Sour.
Yeah. You remember that?
Yeah, great card.
Yeah.
And there's some other random stuff that he tweeted, but this is the meat of the Zendikar Rising stuff coming out. This is the stuff that's super exciting. We'll see what happens with all this stuff.
I like how they put cards in standard that give you many abilities of the powerful cards in the past. Like the Fact or Fiction was a really good card back in the day. And then they had that one Jace Planeswalker that gave you the mini Fact or Fiction, you know? So I like how they're doing that in standard, you know? Moving on to page 12, we got a question from our Facebook group. So that was a Facebook group that wasn't ours earlier, but this one's going to be a question from our Facebook group. Let me get over there to it.
Emmanuel knows that this is a question that starts arguments a lot.
You're kidding me. Well, I hope it doesn't right here. Okay, here we go, because I've got an answer for it right off the get-go. I don't know if you guys want me to wait, but I'm going to read the question. Do you think Magic the Gathering is truly competitive?
Yes.
Yes, absolutely.
I agree with both of you. I think it's very competitive. I know that even if I sit down for what you would quote-unquote call a casual game, I get pretty hyped and pretty pumped. My sweat glands start going. I want something to drink.
In my standard experience from way back when, I have seen some jank decks beat tier one decks. It has a lot to do with the pilot and not so much the plane.
Yeah, I mean, Infect was never supposed to be that good, but it became that good.
I agree there, too. You know, a buddy of mine, I was going to go with blue-white control. Cawblade was a thing. I didn't do the Cawblade thing, but I was going to go with blue-white control. He's like, dude, why don't you take my Infect deck? I'm like, nah. Oh, yeah, I should have took that Infect deck. What was I thinking? Yep. What was I thinking? You know, not only that, but I don't know where we're going with this. Okay. And then, so is it a competitive? Yeah. When I get done listening to podcasts about Magic the Gathering, I kind of want to have that feeling of, man, I want to play a game, you know? When I get done playing Magic the Gathering Arena, I want to have that feeling of, man, I want to play a real game, you know? When I get down and I listen to the podcast, watch YouTube people like Peddler, when I watch your stuff, it gets me amped to want to go to the local game store and buy Magic cards and see what I crack open or what can I get.
When I'm editing my stuff, I want to go out and buy more stuff.
Yeah.
It's insane.
I see the drive. I see the passion. You know, that's why I'm really, really super stoked that you're on the podcast with us.
I appreciate it, man. So to me, Magic is really chess made out of cardboard. It's the perfect game. It requires so much thought. I'm sure we've all been there. Like if you're at a major tournament, you play 9 rounds, you leave there exhausted because all you did was think for 5 hours. It's insane. It's so much fun.
Mm-hmm. A buddy of mine.
Yeah, no, it's very tiring.
A buddy of mine has to constantly remind me that it's just expensive, pretty cardboard. And he's right. He's right. But man, don't we have that passion? Don't we have that drive? You know?
Yeah, I mean, there's an entire community based around it. And many times we're able to come together and, you know, put our minds together and do great things, especially like organizing tournaments in local areas when we weren't able to before. And, you know, a lot of like art that's on the cards is submitted from a lot of the fans that later on become professional artists. Like my dad's a professional artist, and I'm trying to get him to submit some art into there to get his, to get some art on a card, you know. Pretty awesome.
Moving on to another thing, I want to let the listeners know, if you've ever had a dream of working for Wizards of the Coast, now's your opportunity. They're looking out to the general public for a position called Director of Creator Productions. And if you want to know more, I know they can go to wizards.com. What do you think about that, Matt?
Yeah, no, it's a very exciting opportunity for, you know, people that have had that experience in the past of being able to manage and work with creative teams, and not just the trading card industry alone, but in the video game industry, people that are really passionate about being able to help create something great. And create great products to put out there that people see and open and use. I think that's an awesome thing to happen.
Well, I know you've always wanted to work for Wizards of the Coast. You're not going to leave me and become the Director of Creator Productions over there, are you, buddy?
Well, I don't know if they're going to hire a 19-year-old, but I mean, if I was given an opportunity, I don't know if I could say no.
You'd leave me? You'd leave me and the listeners?
Well, no, I'd still come on Saturdays. Don't worry.
Okay. All right. See, he loves you guys. He loves you.
I would take that job in a heartbeat. You kidding me? Watsy, if you're listening, I have a degree. I have a master's in marketing. I'll send you my resume right now.
Look at this
guy. Do it after the podcast. Go put your resume in.
Look at this.
Oh, guys. I will.
Look at this, guys. Look at this. Shameless plug. And then, another topic, last but not least, Spelltable has joined Wizards of the Coast. And for all of you that don't know Spelltable, if you've heard us talk about on the podcast about Command Fests online, those are the guys who run it. And they've actually partnered with Wizards of the Coast. Now, we don't know too much about it yet, but we do know that they partnered up. So that's going to be really exciting to talk about them more in the coming months. You want to go ahead and talk about the Facebook group more, Matt? Let them know that...
Yeah. We really can't do this podcast without you guys. Like John said, we have the Cryptic Commander Facebook group. We have the Cryptic Commander podcast, which is what you're listening to right now. And we have the Cryptic Commander YouTube channel. We're really trying to get that YouTube channel up and going. Currently at about 110 subscribers, right, John?
Yeah, so we're at 110 subscribers on YouTube. We're right around 130 in the Facebook group. So
yeah.
the numbers are, you know, to me a little bit off a little bit, but we've only get about 30 views a day on the YouTube videos. So we're trying to pump those numbers up.
Yep.
And if you guys can help share, or, you know, I'm not asking to watch them 20 times a piece, you know, I'm just, no. I don't know how we're going to do it. 'Cause you know, I'm new to the whole YouTube thing. I've been doing the podcast for a long time. We've got good numbers on the podcast, and we're being broadcast in 28 countries, and there's so many listeners out there, guys. We can't do it without you. If you want to reach out to us and have a segment on the podcast, then let us know in the Facebook group, The Cryptic Commander. You want some?
Yeah, and we also have the crypticcommanderpod@gmail.com. You can also reach out to us there.
Yeah, absolutely. And is there anything else you guys wanted to add to the podcast before we let the listeners go?
I just really wanted to thank you guys for having me on. I mean, me being a small channel, it was an honor to have anyone want me to come on and talk. So I really appreciate the opportunity.
Of course. It was great to have you.
Yeah, man. I love your stuff.
It was a lot of fun.
I love your stuff.
A lot of fun.
One of my friends,
I appreciate that, John. Yeah, thank you.
One of my friends reached out to me. Not a problem, man. One of my friends reached out to me and he said, another Magic the Gathering content creator I didn't know nothing about? Oh, he's going over there and watching you because he'd never heard of you. And it's like, yeah, man.
That's so cool.
We were trying to bring.
I'm not surprised he never heard of me. I'm not surprised he's never heard of me. Many of the community has not, but that's okay. I would have as much fun doing my channel if there was 50 people watching me, or if there was 50,000 people watching me. It is just that exactly. Much fun to open cards for these guys. Yeah, I love it.
I love that attitude, and that's one of the reasons why I couldn't wait to get you on this podcast.
No, thank you so much, man. Appreciate it.
All right, Peddler, and Matt, we're gonna let the listeners go. And if you guys want to reach out to us, you know how to do that. Until next time,
yep.
Keep spell slinging.